The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. I want you to listen closely. Many would believe, and I would believe, this is probably the most perfect gospel, the most perfect story that Jesus ever told. A man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me a share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to take care of the pigs. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. But he came to his senses, and he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I will get up, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and he went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and kill it. We must celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.' And the celebration began." Now the story, you would think, would end right there, but he goes further. Now the older son was out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing, and he called one of his servants, and he asked what this might mean. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." And the other son became angry, and he refused to enter the house. And his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you faithfully. Not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a goat to feast with my friends. But this son of yours returns. He swallowed up your property with prostitutes, and for him you slaughter the fattened calf." And the father said to him, "Son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. We must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." This is indeed good news from the Lord. This is surely the one gospel that needs no sermon. Nothing I'm going to say now will be better than what you just heard. Scholars say that of all of the stories and parables and teachings of Jesus, this is his paramount statement about the nature of God, and also his strongest critique on phony religion, both at the same time. And the one son symbolizes the sinner whom Jesus came for, and the other son symbolizes people who do it right, but don't love God, they just love themselves. So it's a warning to those of us who have served God supposedly all of our life faithfully, but do not love God. We just love our own righteousness. And that is the elder son who does not come to the party. And there's no mention, even at the end, that he does, even after his father begs him. Because he still lives in a world of reward and punishment, and he wants his brother punished, and the father refuses to do it. If this is Jesus' image of God, which indeed it is, then you have nothing to be afraid of from God, unless you think of yourself as worthy and wonderful and better than everybody else. So he's critiquing the legalism and ritualism and Pharisaism of his own religion. But that's a temptation in all religions, for us to refuse to actually enjoy God because we are saving ourselves quite well, thank you, God. We really don't need you. So it seems that God would much sooner have someone who does it wrong and gets it right than someone who supposedly gets it right and does it wrong. It's a subtle but very real distinction. And of course, how could you get a better image of God than the one who gives his very substance, his inheritance to a selfish teenage boy who's so selfish that he asks for his inheritance before his dad is dead? How would you feel about that? If your kids came up to you and said, I want my money now. That's how selfish the boy is. But it doesn't matter. He's still his son. And the son, thank God, when he hits the bottom, which is often what it takes, finally has a change of heart. But wouldn't you know it, when he's still a long way off, whatever that means, he isn't fully there yet. He doesn't really love his father. He's just desperate. He's hit the bottom. But when he's a long way off, the father sees him and comes running after him. This is the biblical tradition. The initiative is always on God's side. When you feel a desire to love God, you know why? Because God has just loved you, and your deepest soul felt it. God always takes the initiative, always, always. Comes running down the road after you when you are still a long way off. And we have God, symbolized by the Father, feeling compassion for the Son, for the sinner, for the one who has spent all his money on prostitutes, a stupid young boy. But that doesn't matter. That's God's job description. Not to save the saved, but to save the sinner. So if you want a ticket for being here, make sure you're a sinner. Any of you who are standing on your own laurels of how wonderful you are because you belong to Holy Family Parish or you come to Mass every day or every Sunday, you don't love God, you love yourself. Very often it's people who've hit the bottom who love God, who at least slowly fall in love with God when they realize that God is always and forever running down the road toward them.